Thank you. How are you guys doing this fine Sunday morning? So we're going to start off by watching an epic video, so pay attention to the screen. Who's played that game? Ethan? Nemo? It's called Rainbow, I think. Rainbow? Rainbow Six Siege. Looks like a fun game. I've never played such. Anyway, so welcome to our victory series. Last week, okay, but before we go to last week, the week before that, we looked at generational curses, because as you know, there's five things we need freedom, five areas, five categories we need freedom in. So the first one was generational curses. That was deep. Next one was relational issues, and today is spiritual error. So last week, we looked at relational issues, and it was deep. Who was here for last week? I was here. It was deep, wasn't it? Yeah. Now today, we're looking at spiritual errors. So the first thing I want to say is, this thing is like getting in my way, is that spiritual error is an ancient practice. So it's not just a thing that sort of popped up now this year. We're like, okay, now there's spiritual error. Spiritual error has been happening for like centuries. So before the world began, this dude, you know this dude, the devil, decided that he wanted to be better than God and not God's worship leader. So the devil was the worship leader in heaven. He was an angel. I don't know how he looks. I don't think he looks like that. But he was, because he's an angel anyway. So he's the worship leader, and then he decided, no, I'm better than God. So that was the first act of spiritual error. The devil was the first person to commit a spiritual error. Then we had Adam and Eve in paradise. They were tempted by the snake. I'm sure we all know these stories. They were tempted by the snake, and the devil said, did God really say you mustn't eat the fruit? I mean, it looks like a sort of nice looking... There it doesn't look so nice. But it did look nice. Looked like a beautiful fruit. And then the devil said, do you really think that God didn't want you to eat that fruit? And then, anyway, Eve got tempted. Adam got tempted. That was a spiritual error. Then, who remembers the story of Moses and the calf? So, Moses went up on the mountain to go speak to God, spend time with God. When he went down, these people had taken all their watches, their jewelry, they'd melted it in a big pot and made a calf and started worshipping it. That's a spiritual error. So, we've looked at all these old stories back in the day of spiritual errors that happened in the Bible, but it's important to know that it wasn't just an old, ancient practice. Spiritual errors still happen today. So, who of you have watched this movie, 2012? It's actually a really cool movie. Yeah? So, this was a story about when the world was supposed to end because people had predicted that in the year of 2012, I think it was like the December sometime, I was really scared on that day because I was like, ish, is the world going to end? But thinking that the world is going to end is a spiritual error because in the Bible it says that no one will know the time or the date when the world is going to end. So, thinking about predicting, there's all sorts of weird prophets and people like, on the 23rd of December, 2022, the world is going to end. Saying that is a spiritual error. So, it says there we must beware of false teachers. In Acts 20, verse 29, it says, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So, as you can see there, there's a picture of wolf and the lambs and grievous wolves. These are people that come in preaching false practices, saying that you must do this and that, and that's the way to get to God. That's wrong. We don't believe in false teachers. So, today, there are many people in the world committing spiritual errors similar to Mr. Devil. I'm sure you guys have remember this story of there was a prophet. I'm trying to think what his name is. Yes, Prophet Jones Jones, who said to his people, we're going to take a shortcut to heaven, so let's all commit suicide. And his people are like, okay, we believe that you're the right man, so let's do it. And then they all committed suicide, they all died. Because they decided that that dude was going to be, like, he's the answer. Mr. Jones Jones is the one that's actually going to get them to heaven. So that was a spiritual error. So the question is, what is a spiritual error? And I think the simple answer is putting anything above God's word. So it's not just like these ancient things. If you put FIFA above God's word, that's a spiritual error. Next question we should be asking is, how does spiritual error happen? So there's three things. Spiritual error can happen when we think wrong, when we believe wrong, and when we do wrong. I'm just going to repeat that. So spiritual error can happen when we think wrong, when we believe wrong, and when we do wrong. We're going to go into each of these individually. The first one, when we think wrong. This is when we take another idea and put it above God's word. So we believe that the quickest route to heaven is committing suicide. That's an idea we have in our mind. We think that. We're putting that above God's word. So there's all sorts of different weird things that people use to put above God's word. This is, some of these things are really hectic words, like secular philosophies, and then we've got Marxism, atheism, humanism. I can't deal with these ism words. Humanism. So in Colossians 2 verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." So these secular philosophies are ideas that people come up with, like Karl Marx. He's like, okay, I'm going to make this philosophy and everyone must just believe it. So we mustn't think wrong. The next one, believe wrong. So this is taking another belief, something that people believe in, and putting it above God's word. These are fake religions such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, all religions that aren't Christian. So in Acts 25 verse 19 it says, "They were disputing with Paul about their own religion and about some man named Jesus who had died. But Paul claimed that Jesus is alive." I love that. Paul claimed that Jesus is alive. Another way that people believe wrong is through cults. So these are Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Zionists. They're all sort of parts of Christianity, but they're not the true path. So people take parts of the Bible and be like, okay, I'm going to use the Old Testament only, but scrap the New Testament, that's not important. So they take parts, they believe in those parts, and scrap everything else. So it says in 2 John 1 verse 7, "Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist." That's quite a hectic statement. It's saying that anybody believes that Jesus didn't die on the cross is the Antichrist, the devil. How drastic is that? And then C, do wrong. So that's taking another action and putting it above God's word. So deciding that, I think there was a story a couple of years ago, I think, where the pastor told his congregation to go out and eat grass. So that's an action that people did that's wrong. Why would you need to eat grass? The same is with the doom thing. People, pastor spraying things, and that's an action. Pastor spraying people's faces with doom to bring healing. So another example of this is then idol worship. So lots of people worship Mary. Mary, there's like people have shrines in their church where they worship Mary. There's Catholic saints, idols. In Exodus 20 verse 4 to 5 it says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am a jealous God." Another example where people do wrong, where people act wrong, is the occult. So this is all the witchcraft, Satanism, sangomas, Ouija boards, all those weird things. So in Deuteronomy 18 verse 10 to 12 it says, "Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist, or who consults the dead." Some of these things are really freaky. And then there's other things such as unbiblical covenants. These are actions people do. People make these little pacts where they have their own little society, such as the Freemasonries, fraternities. Some of these things are really complex. If you want to like go into lots of research, you can figure out what all these things are. And societies, you know, what's that, where all the famous people are supposed to be in? What? The Illuminati with the triangle. That's some creepy society where people do wrong. In James 5 verse 12 it says, "Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath." So just to recap, we commit spiritual error when we think wrong, when we believe wrong, and when we do wrong. So we're going to watch a video. Grace, could you just quickly hit the lights? And this video is just going to sort of put things into context. How powerful is that? It's not just about golden calves anymore. Idol worship comes in all forms. There was American football, soccer, worshiping games, worshiping cell phones. It's not just an ancient practice where people used to do long time ago where they melted their watches and rings and made a calf and worshiped that. So that new video is really powerful. We are now going to be getting a spiritual errors handout. And on the handout, Grace will bring it around for us. It has different, one of all those things I mentioned. So all the cults, all these weird things, worshiping idols. So we're going to go through that. Tick which ones we have faced in our life, whether it's past, as in it used to be an issue, whether it's present, it's still an issue, or what's the other one? There's three options. Past, safe. That's not been an option at all. So safe, you say, I've never experienced that. Nobody in my family's experienced that. I'm safe. Past, used to experience it, used to go to Sangomas, that stuff. And then present, I'm still facing those issues. So just get that. Spend a few minutes just to write, tick down. There's a lot of options. So just tick one box in each category. And if it's not there, there's space at the bottom. So if there's something that's not on that list, you can put it there at the bottom. So now that we've seen and what things are that we've done, we've looked at what we have problems with, we're going to go through the five R's together as a group when I say so. I'm just going to go through them so we sort of understand what we're doing. So as we pray, we're going to firstly recognize, so we've identified the issue, we look at what we've ticked, what we've said we have an issue with, we're going to recognize that in our lives, then we're going to repent. I'm not sure if you're here for the first week of this series. I spoke about preparing for victory and I said, when we repent, we're going this way. We stop. We say no more. We turn around. We go this way. So when we're praying, we're actually going to physically turn around and turn our backs on the issue, because it's not like that turning of the back does anything. It's just sort of like a symbol, a reminder of what we're actually deciding in our hearts. So we're going to turn our back on those issues, renounce. We break the agreement over our lives. We say, this agreement is no more. It's no longer going to be an issue in our lives. We renounce it. Number four, we rebuke. We remove the authority of the evil one. We say, devil, get out of this. We don't want this anymore in our lives. We want to be free. Then the last one, we receive. So we have that taken out of us. There's a gap in our hearts. We fill that with blessings. We fill that with grace. So would you guys just stand with me, please? So when I pray, we're going to pray after me. So I'll say something, you say something. And then when I say, please turn, we're going to turn our backs. Literally, we're going to turn our backs, okay? So, dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I've done something wrong. Lord God, I bring this issue to you and then just fill in that blank with whatever the issue is. Lord God, I repent for what I've done. And I'm going to turn my back, so now you can turn. Lord God, I renounce this issue. I break the chains it has in my life. It no longer has power over me. I remove the authority of the evil one. I rebuke him in Jesus' name. And now I'm going to turn to you. You can turn around. I receive your grace and blessings. And I am free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So now what we're going to do is, we've got the helmet here, the spiritual helmet. This thing has no power. This is just a helmet. But please rip up your papers. Bring it here and put it in the helmet. We're going to burn those. They are no longer an issue in our lives. So throw them in. And we actually do burn them. I did it last week. Almost burnt myself. So hopefully whoever burns it today is not going to burn themselves. Please. Ethan, don't burn yourself. So those things are no longer an issue in our lives. All right, so now that we're free, it's often like we receive our freedom, we're free, but now how to prevent that issue from coming back into our lives? Because sometimes you're like, okay, I want to be free, but I don't know how to prevent it in the future, so I'm going to help you. First of all, you have to read your Bible. If you read our Bible, we understand God. God speaks to us through the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So if we use the Bible, which is our sword, as you know in the scripture verse, in, I don't quite, Galatians something, it's the sword of the Spirit. Yeah? Ephesians 6, verse 10. You can go read that. And then second one, we have to get to know Jesus. If we get to know Jesus, he's obviously going to help you. In the Bible it says, in John 14, verse 6, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. I feel like I should read that again. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And then continues to say that nobody comes to the Father except through him, so Jesus is the way. Number three, listen to your leaders. Not because we think we're all that, but because we've also been through stuff. We've also had committed spiritual errors. So if you listen to your leaders, they can guide you and help you. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 14, it says, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. That's what they call fivefold ministry, the five. To prepare God's people for works of service, so we all reach unity in the faith and become mature. Then we will no longer be infants, blown by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. So those people, the leaders above us, they've been through stuff. They're not infants anymore because they've matured, and we're also going to do that. We're still growing. Number four, we have to expose spiritual error. So where we see it happening, we have to bring the light, because it says, "What if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll be in fellowship with him." That's a song by Toby Mac, so it's a cool song. You should listen to it. In Ephesians 5 verse 11, it says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So we'd want nothing to do with the deeds of the dark. So if you're in a situation where the deeds, where people are doing this stuff, you must run, flee. The Bible says flee from evil temptation, different context, but we must flee. So if your friends are playing demonic video games, don't hang around with them. Flee, run away. And then lastly, we must live by a new standard. So now that we're free, we need to live by a new standard. It says in the Bible, in Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That scripture verse, I love it. All right, so let's just bow our heads and as we pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you bring victory, Lord God. Thank you that we no longer have to be in bondage because you set us free, Lord God. You say we are free, and we are free indeed, Lord God. So bless us. Bless our week, Lord God. Help us to go out and stay free, Lord God. Help us to remember how to prevent these spiritual errors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So just as we wrap up, next week we're doing sexual sins. That's a deep topic. So come prepared. We're going to split guys and girls so we can actually go really deep. It's going to be good. So see you then. Have a blessed Sunday. We have about 8-9 minutes. Please don't run away. Please connect with people. Talk to someone. 10 minutes. Talk to someone you don't know. Ask them what their favorite something is. Ask them what their favorite food is. Talk to them. Get to know people. Because we are in fellowship. Thank you.